I'm Rachel C. Swanson, and you're listening to the Refine and Restore podcast. Welcome to the podcast where I help strip away the lies that are holding you back and restore your heart and mind back to what is true. From faith, relationships, purposeful living, personal and spiritual growth insights, this podcast is designed to provide inspiration and encouragement to help you grow into the person that you are meant to be. I had an amazing conversation with Jennifer Dukes-Lee in this episode. Jennifer has actually become such a great friend that I met through social media, something that's positive about social media, right? I met her a few years ago, and she is the author of many books, but a recent one, which I love, is titled It's All Under Control. You guys, this one hits really close to home for me. And this is the episode for you that if you are trying so hard to do everything for everyone, if you have tons of plates spinning in the air and you feel responsible for whether or not they stay up or fall, or if you have kids and you're struggling to keep yourself together, and at the end of the day, you're feeling weary, you're wondering if you did enough, and peace just isn't there, you're going to want to tune in. Because by the end of this episode, you're not going to feel so alone in the struggle. And Jennifer gives us so many nuggets of great wisdom to help us point out the lies from the truth. Let's tune in. Tell me about your journey and this struggle with control. So you have this book that just came out. It's called It's All Under Control, which is honestly a very lofty statement and book to discuss and talk about, because I think so many women of us, we struggle with this idea of control. So maybe you can talk about a little bit about your journey, your story, how you came to write this, and go from there.
Well, like a lot of people, I wrote the book because I needed it. If you would have asked me 5 years ago if I struggled with control, I would have said, no, as long as everything goes exactly the way I want it to, I'm totally flexible.
Yes.
And you know, it is kind of a tongue-in-cheek title, isn't it? It's All Under Control. So really, this book is for women like me, which are a lot of women I know, that if you ask them to do something, you ask them to take care of something, you ask them to help out or do one more thing that's already on their already full plates, they're the kind of women who will say, absolutely, Rachel, I got it. It's all under control. And you continue to say yes to more and more and try to spin a lot of plates in the air with a lot of things on each of those plates. And at the end of the day, you look around and find that the plate that keeps falling is the one that holds your relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And coming back to that place then of realizing that it is all under control and that God has it under control. And so really, this is a book about trusting God. And it's a book for women who are trying. Mm-hmm. People will often say to me, Jennifer, who's the book for? And I say, it's for women who are trying. They're not trying to control things like in a narcissistic way. They're trying to do things for a lot of people and a lot of organizations, maybe their own church, their spouse, their kids, their friends, their aging parents, trying. But at the end of the day, when their head hits the pillow, just feeling like I was so busy, but I don't feel very productive. I feel weary and I don't have that peace that I once had with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So I found that and I'm in the process of finding that, right?
Yes.
Just kind of continually relearning old lessons, but feel like I found tools that help me to live a relationship of trust with the Lord and felt like those tools could help other women. So the book is very scripturally based. It's very story oriented because I'm a storyteller and I always have been, but it's also practical. There's some practical ways that I think that women need and want. They're just like, okay, that's nice. That's a nice story, but what am I supposed to do? Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Trust God more, read your Bible more, but like, what does this actually look like in my life? Mm-hmm. So I hope that I was able to provide resources and tools for people to get to that place.
You know, I'll be honest, I'm still reading through it. There's just been so much in my life going on, but it's been so good. I actually think God is purposefully making me read through it slow because I'm in this season of a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety and a lot of this needing to give him that control, give him the wheel, truly remembering that he is in control. And so it's been really helpful to just kind of slowly take it kind of day by day, or whenever I have a little bit of a moment, I'm like, okay, each evening, if I'm feeling stressed out, I'm like, okay, I need my book fix. I need my Jennifer fix with understanding how to overcome some of this stuff. And I love how just relatable you are in the book and just with your stories. And like you said, you know, yes, there's a lot of spiritual components, but there's definitely a lot of practical statements or suggestions that you give, which I found really, really have been helpful. You know, a hands-on kind of approach to be like, okay, let's work on through this together and let's really help dissect where that, you know, deeper struggle is. So maybe you can even share then, do you feel like there is this, like, there's like a healthy side of having some control, but then like an unhealthy side? I mean, can you still have that healthy sense of control or try to control, or what does that kind of look like to you?
Yeah. So if you were to go out on the corner of, you know, after church on a Sunday and say to the people coming out of there, God wants you to have some control over your life, I think that most people would say, oh, no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. But the fact is, God does ask us to be responsible and capable and control of a lot of things. Yeah. When we're mamas, he asks us to make sure we put those plastic thingies in electrical outlets, right?
Yeah.
He makes sure that we've got control enough over the situation that we put our children in one of those tin harness seat, you know, the car seats. And, you know, there's certain things that he's asking us to take control of. Like he doesn't come down and buckle our kids in.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I sent my dad into the operating room to have one of his legs amputated a few years ago, when our family sent him back there, we sure wanted somebody who was going to be in control to control all the bleeding.
Yeah.
And I sure want people who are responsible, capable, take charge, men and women teaching my kids at the public school. Mm-hmm. I want Christian CEOs and CFOs in charge of Fortune 500 companies.
Amen.
I want, I want capable, take charge, responsible people that are editing my books.
Yes.
And editing the podcasts that I'm on.
Yes.
And so if you break it down and you look at control in this way, I'll use weight as an example, or body image, because that's something that we can all relate to as women.
Yes.
So there is such a thing as healthy control of your body and unhealthy control. Mm-hmm. Healthy control is that when the doctor says, you know what, you are about 20 or 30 pounds overweight, and for your heart, you need to run and eat better and not have so many ice cream snacks at 9 o'clock at night. Well, we need to take control of our bodies and do something differently. And that's healthy control. Mm-hmm. Unhealthy control is abiding by sets of food rules that we impose upon ourselves that put us out of whack and we can't even enjoy real life. Mm. I can give you a multitude of scenarios like that, but I think that scripture is filled as well with people who had to have a mix of, you bet God, I'm your guy or I'm your girl for this, but also at the end of the day, and hopefully at the beginning as well, saying, I open my hands to you, God. Give me your plans and give me your skill and ability to do this. You know, I think about Noah. Think about how much control it would take to gather up all of those different animals and build this ship and do, I mean, that's like a super high responsibility 3 Enneagram kind of person.
I love that you threw an Enneagram out there.
I mean, I don't know exactly what he is, but
that, like, seems about right.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. And you know, a lot of people probably just thought I was playing crazy too, but I mean, super achiever, right?
Yes.
And so I think that I care so much about that particular aspect. And I'm so glad you asked that, because hardly anybody ever does. Hmm. I'm so glad you asked that, because I didn't touch on that a lot in the book, but I spent an entire week of it in the Bible study that I wrote. Hmm. Hmm. So I'm super passionate about that. Healthy control versus unhealthy control.
Yeah, right. So you do have, your Bible study portion of this book as well. So if people want to dig in even deeper, even more on the spiritual side of it, they can. And so maybe if you could kind of give us an idea of maybe a spiritual truth. So this podcast, again, it's designed to refine away or strip away those lies that are holding you back. So you're saying this lie is that we believe we're fully in control, or we try to hold on to this control mechanism, which kind of derails us or puts us in a tailspin or exhausts us, when really God's in control of some of those uncontrollables, right? Like kind of what you're saying. And so what's maybe, so that's a lie that we believe that we're more in control than we think. And yet the truth is that God is fully in control. But maybe can you give us some scripture passages or a Bible story, something that has really helped you understand that deeper, and maybe even just some practical, on a practical level, like how do we apply that into our lives?
Yeah. So, clearly, the one that immediately comes to mind is Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And I hope to God I got that right, because I don't have the Bible sitting here in front of me. But that's absolutely true. I mean, I think every page of scripture is this compass pointing true north and showing us that we so tightly hold our plans in our fists. And if you could see a visual to the listener of just thinking about your fist tightly wrapped around your preferences and your plans and your ideas and your goals, the thing that I'm learning with the Lord in my walk is that God can't put anything into closed fists. And so to make my plans, but to hold them loosely, to open the hands and see what stays and what goes, like give it the freedom to fly away or fall off of the hand, so that these hands can be filled with God's best for us. So I think that's absolutely true. Like, obviously ever since we've been little, if we've been raised up in the church, we've heard just trust God, trust God. The flip side of that though, well, there is no flip side to trusting God, but I just want to make a point about surrender here. I think this is so important. And with regard to control, which is really an aspect of surrender. And that is this. A lot of times people associate surrender with this phrase, let go and let God. And I want to pitch out that sometimes, not always, but sometimes let go and let God is bad advice. The reason being is that sometimes we can say that to absolve ourselves of any responsibility. Like, you know what? I'm just tired of this relationship with this difficult friend. So I'm not going to have anything to do with her anymore. I'm just going to let go and let God. Or something horrible is happening over in some third world or developing country, and we pray about it and say, we just got to let go and let God. So we say, let go and let God to situations like that as well. And I think that what I'm finding that surrender looks like is not often is it let go and lay down in a pile and just give up. Sometimes, quite often, more than I even want it to, it's hang on tighter than ever before. Fight for the underdog. Take in the foster child. Try one more week with that bad relationship. Not to just leave the church that's been a disappointment to you, but to maybe figure out what it looks like to stay and be a part of a better change. And I'm not saying that there aren't times to let go of a toxic relationship for sure, or to leave a church where you're not growing spiritually and your family isn't engaged there anymore. But what I am saying is that I think we've become somewhat of a disposable society, where it becomes increasingly easy to leave and to go and to move on, and let go and let God then becomes a sort of escape hatch, a way out, a way to stop trying. And so often God is going to say, you know what, surrender looks like sticking around longer. Surrender looks like picking up your cross and following me.
You're absolutely right. So many of us these days are, I think we throw in the towel too soon, or it gets hard and we aren't willing to press in through the hard, or we think, oh, it's too hard, so maybe God doesn't want us to go this path. When really it's like, no, he just wants to refine you and mold you and build up that kind of armor or that ability to move through obstacles so that you can continue to forge ahead with some of the things that he has for you later on that are going to be continuing to be difficult. But because I think through that process, the whole purpose is to see God more amidst those difficulties and understand that he hasn't left you and that he truly is under control and in control of everything and that you truly can trust him. And I think that has been a real difficulty of mine. Something I'm still trying to walk out is this trust aspect of trusting God when things aren't going maybe the way that you wanted them to or anticipated. And you kind of, walking back to what you said, I loved what you were saying about the image with the clenched fists. And if you have it holding things so tightly, you can't keep them open to receive, you know, what he has for you. As a mom, I mean, I think we all have been there, but especially as a mom, I think I didn't really understand this concept and this topic of realizing that, yes, you can make a plan. I'm a planner. Okay. I think we both are agreed that we are both type A kind of planner type of people. So I'm a planner. So, and then kids came along and, you know, babies and all that. And like, there are days you have a plan and it just, they just trump those plans, you know, like there's uncontrollables. They have a blowout diaper in the middle of church and you have to leave or, you know, something like that. Or something happens with your child that is 13 and had a real big issue at school and you have to, you know, leave work and that trumps your plan, your schedule. And so I've had to understand that and try to not let that completely demolish me. You know what I mean? Like demolish my spirit, because I feel like sometimes I hold those plans so tightly that when they don't go the way I wanted them to, it just wipes me out the rest of the day. If you have anything to speak into for that woman who just feels like that right now, or she's like, man, I had this whole thing planned and now the kids are sick, or something just happened and it didn't go the way they wanted it to. What kind of truth or what kind of encouragement would you tell her right now?
The thing that comes to mind immediately, if I may share from my own personal experience, the thing that came to mind is this idea of feeling like when things get out of control for my kids, how quickly I've wanted to come in and fix it on their behalf. I mean, not to the point that I'm going to write their English papers, but this sense of this feeling that I've got to fix it. Like if they have been, you know, left off of the cool kids table or didn't do well in school or having trouble with a teacher or whatever it may be, this overwhelming sense of responsibility that I have to sort of fix it for my kids. And in the process of, you know, really before writing this book, I think that was probably one of the main impetuses behind this book, was I realized I was raising my girls to learn how to depend on their mother and to rely on their mother, when my sole aim as a Christian mother is that I wanted to raise them to rely and depend on Jesus. And what does it look like then to even hold my children open in my hands rather than tightly holding them into my fists to protect them and to assure that everything goes well. I think you've probably heard that term helicopter parent, where the parent's hovering over top of the child, making sure everything's going okay down there. And what I think happens even more than helicopter parents these days is I think we're lawnmower parents, where we cut the preferred path in front of the child. And I don't want to be a helicopter parent, but I definitely don't want to be a lawnmower parent. And I think the reason that we do those things is to avoid exactly what you're talking about, that sense of I have to have like contingency plans in place if things go wrong with my kid, whether it's their health or their school or whatever, that we're constantly running around with our eyes wide open, bugged out, like, oh, what? I got to make sure all this is okay. Look both ways when you cross the street, take your vitamins, eat one more bite of peas, like, ah, you know, if my child's not making his bed at age 7 and if he's going to turn out to be a mass murderer if we don't get this thing figured out, you know, yeah. We just take it to such an extreme. And for me, I think hindsight has been a really terrific teacher, because now I'm seeing that they turned out okay. You know, I mean, they're teenagers, but they're turning out okay. Even though there's probably times where I did more for them than I should have. There's probably times where I was too hard on them, lost my cool over something that was really pointless. And then there's times where I probably went overboard in trying to control every little aspect. But other times where I let them fail and they learn to rely on Jesus in that. And so there is a grace even in this, I think, for us as parents. And it's just never too late to let go a little bit more and hold those hands open and see what God does.
Since your girls are older, a little older than mine, my children are 6 and 5 and yours are a little older. So what about this idea? Because you kind of, I think you kind of touched on it, but I want to emphasize on that, of this kind of path as a mom, right? Like in the beginning, babies are obviously fully dependent on us for everything, really, right? And then they get older and you start to help them, you know, they're becoming less and less dependent on you. But I think it can be difficult, at least this is maybe what I've seen, is this, we're so used to this full control over our babies and then these little tiny things, and then they start to get bigger and bigger, that our roles, I believe, are supposed to shift more and more to where we need to start letting go of those reins. You know, you've heard that saying, like, let go of the reins, and as they continue to get older, like, I think that is our goal as moms. I think that's what we want to have, is these independent and wonderful kids that love the Lord and are making wise decisions. But I think sometimes we can get so scared to let go of that. Like you said, you've had to let go of certain things and let them fail to help them see how to live life, like how to make those decisions, how to make those wise decisions next time. And how do you navigate that as you're continuing to see your children get older, and you've talked about this whole issue of control and just with our children, of how are you tangibly or actively, is this just kind of a mindset that you continue have to be aware of the fact that, okay, I need to let go? Or do you just kind of pick and choose certain situations with your kids, you know, of like, okay, in this situation, I definitely need to intervene because this will cause like drastic consequences. Whereas this one, it's like, okay, maybe I'll just let them make that decision, knowing that it's probably not going to be the wisest, but they'll learn a lot through it. How do you kind of navigate those decisions?
There's a couple of things I do. I often will say to Lydia, who's our oldest, I'll say to her, Lydia, I've never parented a 16-year-old before, so I'm just figuring this out. Like certain rules that we make about different things, there are scenarios that come up that I wouldn't have known. And so I don't mm-hmm. have like a rule, like there is no rule book for this stuff. And so I will often say that. I'll be like, okay, I've now been parenting a 16-year-old for 200 days. That's all I have under my belt. So have a little grace with me, but this is what we're going to try, you know, related to a curfew or, you know, if she's going to go on a date with somebody, you know, we're getting into that age. Like all of a sudden these scenarios that we didn't think were going to happen until she's 35 years old, you know, somebody wants to take her on a date. Now what do we do? What do we do about Snapchat? What do we do about text messaging? All these kinds of things are this continual process of figuring out how to do it. And, you know, I can't keep my kids on constant lockdown and monitoring absolutely everything, but I can't fully say, oh, I just got to trust them too. I mean, so trying to evaluate and figure out all the time and as much as I can to be consistent, but also grace with myself to know that I can't, because I've never parented a 16-year-old before. So that's the first thing I do. And the second thing that I do, and Scott and I both do, is we spend a lot of time reflecting on how far we've come and how far we've let go, and where, you know, look where our kids are now, and seeing that along the way, when we were able to let go a little bit more in various ways, it turned out okay. You know, like she didn't get an A on her third grade math paper. It doesn't matter when she's taking her ACTs as a junior in high school, you know, like just to let something slide. I think that's why it's great to have like second or third or fourth children, because you're like, okay, yeah, I remember with this one, it wasn't a big deal, you know? So I think reflecting back and just taking time to see how it worked out, you know, that it worked out to trust God, that it worked out to let go.
Such good advice, seriously. And having that grace aspect to know this is the first time you've walked through having a 16-year-old. And same thing when we're walking through this process as parents, as moms, and it's our first time often, especially with the first one, of trying to figure things out. And so you're still both kind of trying to figure out what works for us, what works for them, what works for this dynamic, what works for their personality, what works for this environment. Because I think that's also another thing, is that sometimes we mamas, I mean, we look around and we look on Pinterest and see all these Pinterest perfect moms, you know, that feel like they're doing everything. And it's like, no, they're just work. You know, there's certain moms that are gifted in certain things and others that are gifted in this way. And we don't have to be all the things for all, you know, all our children. It's really just kind of giving us that grace of, okay, we're going to do things the best way that we know how, and pray a lot.
Yeah.
For God to fill in those gaps, right? Like, would you say that's kind of how we have to do this, right? Like, this is
absolutely.
Like, how, this is giving God control.
One prayer I pray a lot is, dear God, help me to make choices that honor your plans for my life.
Yeah. Yeah. So how has this mantra of just, it's all under control, has this in this time that you've been writing it and speaking on it, you say that you're not ever fully overcome probably, right? I mean, it's never going to be perfection at this. So would you mind just being kind of real and showing and demonstrating that, is there a time recently that you've just really struggled with that again and just kind of lost it, so that we don't feel like we're so alone, or just, you know, having to remind yourself again that he's under control with a certain situation that just didn't happen or go the way that things had planned?
Well, which of the three things that I've already tried to take control of just today would you like to know about?
Oh, that sounds great. Well, let's just do one or two, all three if you really want to.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I haven't had three. I'd have to think about it a little bit. But, you know, I continue to do ridiculous things. Like a few weeks ago, I was experiencing some physical problems that I won't get into in detail, but I immediately went and played Google Doctor. Mm-hmm. And within about 10 minutes, I had multiple forms of cancer and
yeah,
all kinds of autoimmune diseases, and was probably going to be dead within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Got it. Yes.
So that's just one example. Or my younger daughter was in a situation recently with a friend, and I so badly wanted to call the other parent and get this fixed and get this figured out. And then secondly, if I couldn't do that, then I was going to tell her exactly what to say and what to do to make this problem go away. And thirdly, finally settled on just asking her a lot of questions, like, what could you say in this situation? What do you think might work? Which is really, really hard for me. I'm in Indianapolis right now. I'm from Iowa. The fact that during turbulence, I wanted to go up into the cockpit and fly the plane. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's being real. You're like, can I just do it for you? I think I can do a better job. I never had training, but, you know, I think I could do a better job than you can.
Yeah.
Totally. I know. I've been there. Gosh. And, you know, I feel like I want to just be real too with just some of the recent stuff, with just this whole adventure with moving from California to Idaho and on this faith adventure of kind of seeing where God leads and partnering in a ranch that's 60 acres for this dream and vision that we were like, we have no idea how it's going to work out. But, and I want to be real that the day after we got to the ranch that morning, I had a full blown panic attack. I totally did. And I preach and talk about this whole thing of de-stressing, and I've shared about all my ways of not feeling stressed or any of those things or overwhelmed. And yet in that moment, you know, I failed in some ways, but at the same time, God taught me so much from that moment. And it was amazing just how my husband, who knew I was going through that, he saw it and just prayed over me. And then that next day he just worked through with me of like, okay, let's walk through the fears that you're feeling right now, because that's, again, that's ultimately a lot of what the fear and anxiety, that's what stems from, is the fear. And so just walking him through all those things and wrestling with them, but then also trying to figure out, okay, what's going to make this better, or what's going to help us navigate this better, or fix this fear. And it was such a beautiful moment with my husband really walking alongside me in this and helping me overcome those deeper fears and those deeper issues that I was struggling with in that moment. And literally, I mean, night and day, I've just felt 100% better since then, of just feeling that spirit and also just seeing my husband lead beside me in that. And that, I mean, it sounds horrible, but I'm like, I kind of am thankful for that really horrible, weak moment that I never want to have again. But at the same time, seeing some of the fruit and the things that God's taught me through that, that I just really wouldn't trade for anything now, you know? And again, just realizing we are human, and this is the whole reason why we need Jesus. Like, we need him. Like, if we could do everything on our own, what's the point then? What's the point of anything that we're doing, or anything that the reason we're living and seeking him and talking about him and being restored by him? I mean, we are supposed to be, in some ways, I think, weak. We are supposed to be weaker than him. We are not God. Like, we're weaker than him. And it's so that we can turn to him and ask him for that strength and restore ourselves back to him. Mm-hmm. And so I just relate. I relate to that. I know I struggle with anxiety. I struggle with stress. I struggle with this feeling of wanting to be in control. And yet there's still growth and there's still healing that can come. And I think we just can't give up on ourselves too soon, right?
That's so true. Yeah, we do. We give up on ourselves so easily and offer ourselves grace in those situations where we fall back into old patterns, and knowing that even in this, God can teach us something. I have a story in the book, chapter 5 or 6, and I talk about how we're farmers. And so we learn a lot about surrender on our farm, because we can plant the seed, but we don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And one fall, we woke up and snow was absolutely covering our unharvested fields. Mm-hmm. And it was devastating. And it was the first year that Scott was farming without his dad, who had passed away of leukemia the January previous. And we were just trying to figure it all out. Like, we didn't know what we were doing. I mean, kind of, but that was just really unexpected. And there was this man, a farmer that lived up the road, and he must have known that this would be super stressful. And Scott wasn't at home, but he was on the back step, and he had this thick corduroy jacket on and his coveralls. I just remember him as boots. And he just said, "You just tell Scott that it's going to be okay. The harvest always comes." And just thinking about it, it just brings tears to my eyes. And when I wrote that story, thinking about this man who would go out of his way and remind us that the harvest always comes and that it's still okay to trust God in the middle of all that. And I don't know, I feel like the book is my way of saying to others, the harvest comes, and just wait. If you look out the window and it's snowy or thunderstorm, or it feels like everything you planted is being destroyed, that the harvest will come. And we had to live that same sort of scenario out again this fall. But because we'd seen that it's true, that it's going to be okay, and that the harvest always comes, we were able to deal with this in a different way than we would have, or than we did 10 years ago. Again, hindsight being a terrific teacher for us all.
The harvest always comes. You can trust God still, my friend. If you find yourself struggling with this, bring yourself back to the truth that God knows the plans he has for you, that they are good plans, and you can have hope for the future because he will take good care of you. If you want to connect more with Jennifer, her website is jenniferdukeslee.com, and you can also find her on Facebook. Her book, It's All Under Control, can be found everywhere books are sold. Or find my link in the show notes to grab your copy. One more thing. Are we friends yet? I feel like we're friends. I mean, even if this is your first episode or you've been following along with me since day one, can I call you my friend? And so, since we're establishing that relationship, can I ask you to do me a great big favor, friend? Could you please leave a review on whatever podcast player app you're listening to? Oh, I would so appreciate this, as it helps others find this podcast more easily. Thanks, friend. Thanks for leaving that review, and I will see you next week.